chapter 2. This morning, Beth and I got up and we left to come to services about 10 minutes to 7. We were in Pelico Plains and we weren't sure how long it'd take us to get here. And the lady at the place where we were staying, I was telling her something about the room, and then we thanked them. We'd stayed there since Thursday. We had a really good visit. And it's still dark, and I looked at her and I said, "It's going to be a good day today." And she looked at me and she goes, "Yeah, I think so." I said, "Well, it's always a good day when you go to worship. And it's been a really good day to be here to worship. It's been really good." And Drew puts it in such good words for all of us to say amen to. You know, it's a good thing to be here. It's a good thing. It's a blessing to have people to teach us and to learn and be able to sing songs. Those are all blessings. Hopefully we'll continue that with our study. I started this study in 1 Peter a little while ago, and we're going to pick up with study in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, and we're going to go all the way through chapter 3, verse 17. I'll read it through and then we'll go back and make some points, and then some things that hit me this morning, I've got them on a PowerPoint that hopefully that'll just add to our points for the lesson. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting verse 11, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you are like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. This is quite a long reading, and I understand that. When I studied this, I felt that the context needed to hold this together. So as we look at this passage, we see a lot of things about submission, enduring, sanctification, being set apart. We see a lot of things like that. And here we see in verse 11, it talks about being sojourners and pilgrims. That's how we're to look at our lives on this earth. This isn't it. This isn't all that there is. We have so many folks around us to think this is it. This is the best it's ever going to be. No, this is a great place where we're passing through. We're passing through because we want to go to something much better. And, you know, I can see how people get off track sometimes. The world that God has created in some places is just astoundingly beautiful. It's amazing. Beth and I were on a creek yesterday hiking, and it's a place in Tennessee where John Muir walked. And it's a place in Tennessee where they discovered gold in the early 1800s. And that's where the focus is. But when you walk along the stream, it's a stream that just has waterfall after waterfall after waterfall. And you look at it and say, this is unbelievable. Well, you know what? It's just a taste. We're passing through, brethren. It's just a taste of what we got to look forward to in heaven with the Lord. And that's how Peter talks about it. And he talks about this war we have of flesh against our soul, lust against our soul. And what does he do? He tells us, have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Most of the people he's talking to are dispersed Christians. We see that from chapter 1. In different parts of the world. Many of those places controlled by the Roman government. What does he do? He doesn't tell them to rebel against that. He says to live honorably. And when they speak of you as evildoers, they may be won by your conduct. Why? This is a theme I want you to get here that it didn't hit truly until this morning. The idea that Christians are set apart, we're set apart because we submit to government. We submit to our spouses. We submit to Christ. We submit to our brother. We submit to our masters. And we change the world in how we don't return evil for evil. That's how we're set apart. That's what Peter's talking about. And it's really cool when you put it all together. Because that's what he expects of us. Because that's what Jesus did. See? That's what Peter's talking about. Verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance. We are a peaceable people. We are a law-abiding people. And we, Beth and I were talking about this morning. It's kind of interesting that the phenomena that's coming on that maybe you've thought about or heard about, you know, there's a lot of states that have these petitions where quite a few people have signed that they want to, what do they call it? Secede from the union. And Beth had a good question. She asked me, she goes, well, if the state of Tennessee wants to succeed, who do we answer to? Do we answer to the governor or the king? And I said, well, hopefully will do the succeeding, and if that ever happens, in a lawful way. And that's what's being considered right now. It's a lawful will. Nobody's breaking any laws. They're trying to sign petitions. But it's a good question. And I hadn't thought about it. Notice in verse 16, we are to follow God, and we have freedoms with that. But notice how Peter puts it. We live in submission. We don't return evil for evil because we're bondservants of God. We're bondservants of God. He owns us. We belong to Him. And because of this, we honor all people. We love the brotherhood. We fear God. We honor the King. We do this for the Lord's sake. Notice verse 13 again. The little phrase in there that we might miss. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For the Lord we do it. For the Lord. And this makes us a set apart people. He goes on to talk about servants and being submissive, and servants not just being submissive to those who are easygoing, but to those who are harsh. And this is very similar to Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, where we're taught to love our enemies. And Jesus says, you know, it's easy to return good when other people treat you good. That's easy. The hard part is when people treat you bad and you return good for that. That's how we're set apart. And that's how we are. And we've had some really good lessons recently and about how we our demeanor is to be in the workplace. How our demeanor is to be as citizens of this country. There's a certain demeanor that Christians are to have. And we see that. In verse 23, notice what Jesus did. Who, when he was reviled, y'all understand what revile means? When he's talked against, when you're made fun of, when you're treated in a bad way. I think we'd all agree that Jesus was reviled. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Remember the last lesson I had in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Many call it the golden rule. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus did that. Jesus lived the golden rule. He took on our sins unfairly, really. It wasn't fair that Jesus had to bear our sins, was it? Our sins belong to us, but He bore them. And here Peter talks about Him bearing them on a tree. And we had a lesson recently that talked about the crucifixion. It wasn't this glorified thing that we start seeing this time of year, of this scene of this beautifully polished cross sitting elevated above two other beautifully polished crosses. That's not the way it was. It was on a tree. It was on a tree. And He did that for us because we needed Him. We needed a Savior. We all need a Savior. Mankind needs a Savior. And God provided beautifully in Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. You know, we men might look at this and say, well, you know, that just applies to women. What part of this shouldn't apply to the man? You know, maybe the adornment of the certain things, but you know what? When in a sense, that applies too. You know, you want to have an influence on your spouse. And we have many. We all want to do that, don't we? Beth and I have been studying. We have a study that we've been doing. It's been really good. We want to help each other. We want to help each other. Okay? Notice what it said. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. That applies to us too, men. You want to help your spouse? You submit to God. You sanctify yourself to God in the right way. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, and I've talked about this many times, I believe that's the fear of God. So we can have an influence in our spouses. Notice something else that I noticed just when I was reading this just a couple minutes ago. I had never seen it before. Verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. You want to be like Sarah, ladies? You put on the adornment that's talked about here. You put on this demeanor of this gentle and quiet spirit, submitting to God, submitting in the fear of God. That's the adorning talked about here. It's not the outward stuff. This is the inward stuff. This is the important stuff. And we men, we would do well to adorn ourselves with the same things. It's a really powerful passage. Very powerful. We drop down to verse 9, verse 8 and 9. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Let's read a few verses. Romans 6:22. Keep your hand over here in Peter, or if you got a fancy thing that's got more than one marker, you can mark it. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. We're talking about this liberty in Christ we have. We need to use it for good. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 31. 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We talk about this being bondservants of God, but we have such freedoms, don't we? Because we have the truth. And now, come full circle now. How do we use those things toward one another? Romans 12, starting in verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In context, Paul is talking about how brethren ought to treat brethren, and then how they ought to treat those who are not brethren. You know, you treat them. You don't return evil for evil. Okay, now we come back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Let's read those verses again, 8 and 9. Finally, all of you, be of one mind. What's the one mind? Well, the one mind, we're submitting to the Lord. The one mind is we don't return evil for evil. We return good for evil. Those are, in context, that's what we're talking about. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You know what? You know that term, that the phrase "blood is thicker than water." You know, we always folks talk about that. You know, in family ties, you'll see families and siblings and parents and children doing all sorts of wonderful things for their their siblings and their family members and all those things because of that importance of that physical family tie. But Peter's talking about that to be between us here. We're to have that kind of thing. We're to have that type of a feeling toward one another. As brothers, be tenderhearted, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And everybody has a bad day. Everybody falls short sometimes. Sometimes we may do something bad. We don't need evil back on top of that, do we? We could use some help. Sometimes it's hard if spouses have both had a bad day. That's hard. Sometimes that's hard because we both need a little help. Well, here, notice this. We're to help each other. And it doesn't help when somebody does something bad and we do something bad back. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. And that's what Peter's saying. In context, he's talking about brethren. How you treat one another. Basic treating one another as we would like to be treated. That's what Peter's saying. Verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. We need to be seeking peace with one another, with those in the world, and as Paul says in Romans, as best as we can. Sometimes people don't want to be at peace. Sometimes people don't want to be peaceful with us. Well, does Jesus understand that? Absolutely. A lot of people didn't want to be at peace with Jesus. There's a lot of people today that don't want to be at peace with Jesus. But that doesn't stop him from hoping that they'll turn to him. Verse 13, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Have you ever been tempted to not do the right thing because of peer pressure? Maybe somebody that you work for, you're worried about something coming back to you in a bad way because you stand for the Lord. We read the passage in Romans 8 that talks about this. But here Peter's saying the same thing. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? What can they do? The worst thing man can do to us in this life is take our physical life. And guess what? If we're faithful, we'll be comforted by the Lord in ways that we can't imagine. In ways we can't imagine. So, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Does Peter know what he's talking about? You want to look at Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5? Peter knows what he's talking about. He stood for the Lord and they were threatening him and the other apostles with all sorts of things. You go down farther in Acts and we see that James was killed and Peter seemed to be next in line to be killed. And secular history tells us that Peter was crucified upside down. And notice what he's saying. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Brethren, the world and our country will be facing some tough times in the next little while. People talk about, well, my kids will feel it and my grandkids will feel it. You know, I'm afraid we're all going to feel it. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to really trust in Him and realize that we follow Him, we're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We can't get caught up in the worldly thinking about things. Verse 15, but sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. That's where it starts. Starts right here between our ears. When this scripture says hearts, it's talking right here. Sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. It starts here. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you ready, brethren? Are you ready to give that defense? Are you ready to give that answer? That's something that I try to work on all the time. And sometimes I'm okay, and sometimes I fall short. I encourage you all to keep trying to be ready. Because we need to. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. What does shame cause? When we have friends who are not Christians and they realize they're at odds with God, they realize they're in sin and they're ashamed of that, what can shame cause us to do? I don't know about you, but when I've shamed the Lord, I want to get on my knees and ask for forgiveness because I don't want to shame Him. People have a good heart, they don't want to shame Him either. But if we don't stand for what's right, if we don't give an answer for why we... They'll never realize that they're at odds with the Lord, and they'll never come to the point of being ashamed to change where they're at. That's our job. That's our job. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You know, when we suffer because we stand for the Lord, that's a good thing. And that's what Peter wants us to do. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And we need to ask ourselves where we are with this. Now, I realize I've not been very prepared on my computer skills this morning. Usually I need to spend a lot more time on it than I did this morning. But I had a thought I wanted to pass on to you that I'm hoping will help. What does being sanctified or set apart mean? In context, endure suffering and submit to government, masters, spouses, brethren, and our fellow man. Not returning evil for evil. Following the example of Jesus. That's what being set apart means in this context. Is to be different than the world. Don't return evil for evil. Endure for the Lord. Endure for the Lord. When times get tough, we endure for the Lord in doing what's right. And then we look at Jesus, our example. He submitted to government, didn't He? He endured evil for many, didn't He? And He never returned evil for evil. We will be sanctified and set apart in this world when we follow in His footsteps and His example. That's what Peter's telling us. Follow His example. Do we fall short sometimes? Yeah, we do. What do? We acknowledge that to the Lord, acknowledge that to the brothers when we need to. We acknowledge that to one another, and then we get up and we strive to be like Jesus again. That's how we walk this life. And He'll help us. How about you? Do you want to be sanctified and set apart for the Lord? This is what you do. That life starts by becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus, believing Him. Confessing that He is the Son of God. Repenting of your sins and being willing to do something that is not hard at all. Being baptized to wash away your sins. Then you have started a life of sanctification for God. Please let us know how we can help you now as we stand and sing.